All right, Jamal, say good morning. So today's daf is Daf Yud Ches, Sukkah 18. We're going to begin, however, from Yitzayin Amud Beis. So if you remember, again, we actually left off Tashma 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, remember, we were dealing with the second version in the Gemara. We were discussing a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So Shmuel's position was that schach be'emtza, if you have pasul schach in the middle of the sukkah, it passels with the shear of four tefachim. Minatzad from the side, it'll passel with dalet amos. And Rav said, bein minatzad, bein be'emtza, it doesn't matter where the schach pasul is, middle side, whatever it is, the shear is always going to be arba amos. So the Gemara was trying to pose a number of different questions to the shita. So let's pick up Tashma. We learned shnei sedinin mitzdarfin, shnei nisarin in mitzdarfin. Two sheets. Rav said we spoke about the sheet sugya a while ago, and again the two sheets ultimately. The sheets, leaving aside all the different qualifications that we saw in the previous sugya, but the point that he's making is two sheets can combine to form the shear of schach pasul. Shnei Nisarim, on the other hand, two boards, two wooden boards, ein mitzdarfin, are not mitzdarif for the shear of pasul schach. Rabbi Meir says, Nisarim kisadinim. And Rabbi Meir says, no, that sheets are no different. Excuse me, that boards are no different than sheets, and in the same way that the sheets combine, the boards combine as well. So the Gemara says, Bishlam alahach lishna da amarav, bein ba'emtza bein binatza ba'arba amos, my mitzdarfin, mitzdarfin la dalad amos. So also, according to Rav, this price, it makes sense. Why? Because what does it mean that boards and sheets could combine? It means they combine to form a shear of what? Dalet Amos. And according to Rav, the shear of Dalet Amos is the shear both minatzad as well as be'emtza. Ela lahach lishna da'amar Rav be'emtza ba'arba heichidami. But according to the lashon that had Rav, which was the first version according to Rav, the second version according to Shmuel, who held that lemaisa again in the middle, there would be a shear of four tefachim. What's the case? If it has dalet tefachim, lama lehu litzdarufei, then why would there be a need for any kind of combination? And if it doesn't have dalet tefachim, kanya ba'alma ninhu. Then lemaisa again, I will say, remember, if they each have their own shear, then lemaisa, why do you need to combine them? If they don't have their own shear, if they don't have the shear of Dalit, Kan Yabal Ramos, remember again, a piece of wood less than Dalit Tfachim is what? It literally is a reed. It's just a piece of schach. Why would that be problematic? To which the Gemara says, the Olam Disparva, really it does have four Tfachim. Umay Mitzdarfin, what does it mean when the Braisa says it's Mitzdarif? Mitzdarfin La Arba Amos. It means that it could combine for the shear of Dalit Amos, which everybody would agree would be the shear of Psul. Excuse me, the Arba Amos Minatzad. It would combine to form the shear of Dalet Amos from the side, which everybody would agree is the shear of Psul. Tashma, Sichicha Minisarim Shel Eres. If you used for Schach wooden cedar boards that have a width of four tefachim. So Divrei HaKol Psula. Everybody agrees that such a Schach is possible. Ein Bohen Dalet. If the boards don't have a shear of four tefachim, Rabbi Meir says that it's possible. Rabbi Huda says that it's kosher. So I will say again, according to this brisa, in the case of where the boards are four tefachim, everyone agrees that lemaisa it's not good when it's not four tefachim. So you have again Rabbi Meir saying that it's possible. Rabbi Huda saying that it's kosher. Top of Yud Ches, Umod Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir agrees. Shim yesh bein neser le neser kemali neser. That if you have between one board and the next board, the shear of a board itself, shamaniach psal benehem, that you place schach in between those openings, shamaniach psal benehem, ukshera halach lemaisa that bikasha. So I'll say in the new sheet that I gave you, we didn't need yesterday's also, but in the new one that I gave you, that begins on page, it begins actually with picture 111. Sure, this might be yesterday's sheet also. We need both packets. The truth is, it's in yesterday's also, not the truth. But okay. In any event, you could just see what's happening over here. Now, I'm going to, so this is the page that begins with picture 109. So you're actually looking at the bottom picture, 111. And I will say, don't look at the details of that picture yet, because we haven't actually gotten to the details, but I'm just showing you what the Gemara is illustrating over here. The Gemara is illustrating a case of where you have these boards, and in between each board is the width of a board, and in those widths you are placing schach kosher. In those widths you are placing schach kosher. So the Gemara says, Bishlam alaman do amar bein be'emtza bein minatzad bidalid amos. So according to the opinion who holds that schach pasels at a shiur of dalid amos, whether it's in the middle of the sukkah or on the side of the sukkah, so that case makes sense. Mishum hachi kshira, because now I understand ultimately why that would be kosher. Eleman d'amar be'emtza ba'arba. So we'll say again, remember, if you hold that the psul of schach pasul is dalid amos, the case that we just described where you have the board, and then this, remember, and the board itself is four tefachim. So again, you have board, schach, board, schach. Then the Maaser, I understand how that could be kosher, because again, according to Rav's version, at least Rav in the second version, Shmuel in the third version, schach posel only posels at a shear of dalet amos. If that's the case, you don't have dalet amos of schach posel, and you're okay. Elo leman do amar be'emtza ba'arba amay kshira. But according to the opinion who holds that schach posels at a shear of four tefachim in the middle of the sukkah, then why should such a sukkah be kosher? To which the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua, Hacha b'sukkah de'lo havya ela shmona mitzumtzamos askinon. Oh, listen to this. What are we talking about? We're talking about a sukkah that is exactly 8 amos long. 8 amos long. All right, and what are you doing? V'yohiv neser upsal, v'neser upsal, you place a board and schach, mehagisa from this side, V'neser upsal, a board and schach. V'neser upsal, a board and schach. V'neser upsal, and a board and schach. Mehagisa, from this side, the havalu hil shnei psalin be'emtza. It'll end up with a patch of two concurrent patches of schach in the middle. The ika hechsher sukkah b'emtza. Well, this is actually a fascinating case. Now look at picture 111. Let me show this to you in the picture, then we'll look in Rashi. So look at the picture. So you see the way the Gemara is understanding the case over here is, what do you have? You have four tefachim. Remember, the solid parts are the boards. Now remember, a board of four tefachim, we're suggesting now, is not a good piece of schach. It's too big. So you have a board, then you have schach, you have a board, you have schach. Now remember, the sukkah is eight amos long. 8 amos is how many tefachim?
32.
Right?
48.
40, right? Because remember, there are 6 tefachim in an amo. So you have 48 tefachim across. So now watch this. So what the Gemara is suggesting is, you essentially have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 20 amos of schach on each, 20 tefachim. Did I say that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes. 20 tefachim of schach on each side, right? You're alternating. And then ultimately what happens? You get to the middle part over there. Now you see that middle part? That middle part, just because of the arrangements, is all schach. Now here's what's interesting. So remember, we'll say, calculate back. Now, so you have that sheer schach in the middle, which works, 8 tefachim of schach, perfect. And remember, we'll say, here's the interesting part. Now, how much space do you have between the wall and between the middle patch? Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 20 tefachim. 20 tefachim is less than what?
Wow.
Is less than dalet amos. Because remember, again, dalet amos will be how many tefachim?
24.
So essentially what the Gemara is suggesting over here is you've effectively created a case of Dofen Akuma. So you've created a case of Dofen Akuma over here. So the Maaser, the Gemara is suggesting, this is the case of where you could have, so to speak, these four tefach boards and still not invalidate the sukkah. Granted, the whole sukkah, we'll see the Shulchan Aruch today on Dofen Akuma, I'm sorry. You have to sit in the middle. Correct. Really, effectively, the only part of the sukkah you're going to be able to use is the 8 tefach part in the middle. But lemaisa, the sukkah still works. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Abaye, v'avir shlosha b'sukkah gidola. So listen to this case. If you have avir shlosha b'sukkah gidola, remember, 3 tefachim of open space in a large sukkah. And I will say, the reason he uses this, you will see why he discusses sukkah gidola. What's the definition of a sukkah gidola? Anything that is larger than a sukkah kitana. I know, very profound. Right? What does that mean practically? What it means is a sukkah kitana is zayin al zayin. a Sukkah Gedolah is going to be anything more than Zayin al Zayin, anything more than 7th Falcon by 7th Falcon. So Abaye said that we know that if you have airspace, just open space, of more than 7th Falcon, more than 7th Falcon within the Sukkah, so ultimately, again, that's problematic. However, actually, Mr. Martyr mentioned this to me yesterday after davening. What happens? Umiyatu. Okay, there's a very easy way to remedy open space, and that's how. That's how. Put something in it. Now, Bosa, this is going to be picture 112. Picture 112. So what happens? Now I go ahead. I diminish that space by placing something in it. So the Gemara says, what happens? Umiyato, I diminish the space. Bein bekanim, bein bishiputin. Whether I diminish it, Rabbi Sai, kanim literally are reeds, which is kosher schach. Right? So whether I diminish the space with kosher schach or bein bishiputin. Shiputin are what? Shiputin are metal spits, which Rabbi Sai are not kosher for schach. So whether I diminish the open area with kosher schach or with non-kosher schach, the truth is inconsequential, and havi miut, it works. Now, also, again, it's a very interesting idea. Why does it work? Because lemaisa, again, what's the goal over here? The goal over here is to eliminate 3 tefachim of open space. So what Abaye is saying is, no matter how you go ahead and eliminate that, whether you eliminate that by inserting schach kosher, or you eliminate it by inserting schach pasul, you're still okay. However, besukah kitana, if you have a small sukkah, and Rashi says over here, sukkah kitano, Rashi, look at Rashi. He says, Havi miyut, first of all, is in the sukkah gidol, Rashi says, ukshera. So no matter what you closed up that space with, whether you did it with shipudin, or whether you did it with kalim, kosher schach or non-kosher schach, Rashi says it works, ukshera, delav shir avir yesh, because there's no longer an open air space, below shir schach pasol yesh, and there's not a shir schach pasol. However, sukkah kitana, if you went ahead and you had an open space of 3 tefachim of within a sukkah kitana, Rashi says this is shir mitzumtzum, 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. What's the halacha? Bishipudin lo havi miut. If you're using reeds kosher schach to minimize the open area, then that works. But to go ahead and to use shipudin, to use metal spits, lemaisa again, that will not work. That will not work. Look at Rashi. So again, if you're putting kosher schach there, then the mice again, if you have an area less than 3 tefachim opening, then it becomes lamud, it comes closed, and halacha maaseh your sukkah is good. Bishipudin lo habimiyut, Rashi says, but however, if you put spits in there, it's not good. Now remember, why shouldn't it be good? Because after all, if you have airspace, and a sukkah kitan, and you fill it in with shipudin, at the end of the day, you no longer have 3 tefachim of open airspace. Says Rashi, but what's the problem? We saw this yesterday. What's the problem? The problem is like this. In a sukkah kitana, every single piece of space counts. And what's the problem? If you had 3 tefachim opening and now you filled in, let's say, 1 tefach of that with shipudin, the problem is you're still missing 3 tefachim of sukkah. And if you're missing 3 tefachim of sukkah, by definition, you are missing just part of the critical dimensions, and therefore it's not good. The Hanimili, and the Gemara says, this idea that a gap less than 3 tefachim doesn't passel is minatzad. They will say, now Abaye is giving a very interesting qualification over here. Abaye says that when do we say lavud by an opening in the schach? That's only where? By the side. So if there's a gap between the schach and the wall, we'll say lavud with an opening of less than 3 tefachim. However, about be'emtza, what about if there's an opening in the middle? They will say, that's actually a picture 112 is showing you a picture, actually, excuse me, 114. Is showing you a picture, a gap in the middle. So also, we've always assumed up until now, like Abaye was saying, they were kind of talking about cases where the gap is between the schach and the wall. What happens if the gap is in the schach itself? Can you say lavud be'emtza? So the Gemara says, pliyiba Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha and Raviga argue about this. Chad Amar once said, yesh lavud be'emtza. One opinion says there is a concept of lavud even in the middle. On the other opinion, it says no. There is no concept of lavud be'emtza. There is no concept of lavud in the middle. Lavud is only a concept that applies on the side. Okay. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. My taima demand amar yesh lavud be'emtza. What is the logic of the opinion who says that lavud even applies in the middle? Desanya, because the Gemara quotes a braisa from Maseches Eruvin. And what did we learn in Eruvin? Remember again, if you have a mavui, the halacha is that you can only carry in a mavui if there's a lechi or a kora, a horizontal or a vertical beam. Again, because what does that do? Remember, it actually says machlokas and eruvin as to why a lechi or a kora work. Does it work mishum mechitza? Does it work mishum heker? Does it create a partition? Is it just there as a reminder? Okay, so what happens? You have a kora, you have a beam. You have a beam, a horizontal beam, that comes out of one wall, but what? Doesn't quite reach the other one. It's korayotis mikosalza, veinonagas mikosalakar. V'chein, shtei koros. Similarly, if you have two beams, achas yotze mikosalza, v'achas yotze mikosalakar. One is coming out of one wall, one is coming out of the other wall. Veinonagas zu bezu. This is picture 115. All right, so you have two beams, one coming from each wall, but what's the problem? They don't go ahead and touch each other. So what is the halacha? Bepachos mishlosha eino tzarech lahavi kora acheres. As long as the gap is less than 3 tefachim between those two beams, you need not bring another beam. However, shlosha, if the opening is 3 tefachim or more, then what? Tzarech lahavi kora acheres. You must indeed bring another korah. So Rabbi said, what do you see from here? You see from here that we do say lavud be'emtsa. This is a case, again, remember, where the gap is in the middle. And yet, again, the Bryce is telling me that as long as the gap is less than 3 tefachim, halach l'maaseh, we say lavud even in the middle. The idach, and I, what will the other opinions say about this? Because it seems to be a proof to the fact that lavud is in the middle, to which lavud works in the middle. The idach, shiny koros, dirabanam. You can't bring a raya from this, Rabbi said. Why? Because the whole need for a kora is rabbinic. So, okay, I understand. Look, midoraisa, I don't even need this at all. Midoraisa, I can carry the mavoi without this. It's a dirabanan. So, okay, dirabanan are allowing for the usage of lavud even in the middle. But you can't use this as a paradigm for other cases. Okay, so now the Gemara flips the question. My time to demand amar ain lavud b'emtsa. What is the logic of the opinion who says that there is no lavud? There is no lavud in the middle. No lavud in the middle. This nan. Aruba Shemavai. So we'll say this is a case of Tumantara, which we're not going to get into the intricacies of it. We're just going to learn it kind of superficially just to make the point. Aruba Shemavai. So we'll say this is actually picture 116. You have a home, and the idea is you see that that talus on the couch there. So it's not quite a talus on the couch. That's a corpse, right? So again, so there's a dead person in the house. So what happens? They're much better in color, by the way. I feel bad. I'm going to have to show you in color afterwards. So this nan, Aruba Shabbayis, you have, Aruba is literally a skylight. I will say, but again, it's not a skylight like we think about. This is an open skylight. So I have an open skylight in my house. Aruba Shabbayis, Uba poches poseach tefach. And what happens? The skylight is a tefach by a tefach. Tefach by a tefach opening. Okay. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. So what happens? There's a corpse in the home. Kulo tame. So if there's a corpse in the house, everything in the house, of course, under the roof, together with the corpse, is going to be tame. However, masheknegit aruba tahor. But ultimately, that which is opposite the skylight is tara. We'll say, look at Rashi, and look at the picture 116. So you see over here in this case. What the Gemara would say is the corpse is on the couch, therefore everything in the house is tummy because it's underneath. I'm sorry? The corpse should be on the floor. He just died. Right? So what happens? I'm sorry? Underneath the skylight. So what happens? So now again, the corpse is in the house, everything underneath the roof with the corpse is going to be tummy, with one exception, that which is directly underneath the skylight. So that which is directly underneath the skylight, ultimately, is tahor. Rashi points out over here, Kineged Aruba Tahor, Kelim Shetachtea Tahorim, She'eno Ohel Ames. Alma, so we'll say, see, here's the chap. The chap is that whatever is underneath the skylight is not considered to be under the same roof with the mace, and therefore, again, is not tamei. Because we'll say, again, technically, it's not under the roof with the mace, it's not under any roof, it's directly underneath the skylight. Therefore, it's not tamei. However, Tuma Kineged Aruba, what happens if the corpse is directly underneath the skylight? So the halacha is kol habayis kulo tamei. then ultimately, again, if the corpse is underneath the skylight, then about say everything in the home is tahor. Why? Because since the corpse is underneath the skylight, it's not considered as if it's underneath the roof of the home, and therefore does not transmit tumas ohel. Ein ba'aruba poseach tefach. However, again, if the skylight does not have a tefach by tefach space, tuma ba'bayis, and there's a corpse in the home, keneged aruba tahor. That which is underneath the skylight will still be tameh, will be tahor, because again, Abosai, at the end of the day, we see that's just a function of not being under the same roof with the mace, so it'll be tameh. Tuma keneged aruba. However, again, if the tuma, i.e. the corpse, is opposite the skylight, kala bayis kulo tahor, the entire home is tahor. Now, Abosai, why are we bringing this up? What's the point of this whole discussion? Without even understanding all the technical details, what do you see from here? You see from here that how big is this opening? One tefach. And yet what? It's still reckoned as an opening. So the man d'armah will say, who says, Ein lavud be'emtza, we'll see from here. Oh, here's the raya. Because if there really was a concept of lavud be'emtza, if there really was a concept that even in the middle, less than three tefachim is considered to be closed, then what should be the halacha here? Then the halacha should be, you only have an opening of a tefach. L'maisa, again, that should be considered as if it's totally closed off. The fact that it's still reckoned as an opening tells us what? Ein lavud be'emtza. There is no lavud in the middle. To which the Gemara says, so what does the other opinion do about this? The Idach, the other opinion, we'll say the other opinion is the opinion who holds that yesh lavud be'emtza will say shiny hilchos tuma, dahachi kamiri lehu. The other opinion will say hilchos, right, the halachos of tuma and tara are different. They'll say, what do they mean the halachos of tuma and tara are different? The halachas of Tumatara are different because there's a halacha l'moshe misinai. Look at the first white line in Rashi. Hachi, kemirilo, misinai. These are the halachos of Tumatara from halacha l'moshe misinai. De'ein lavud be'emsa. Umehalacha lo gamrinan midi achrisa elahu demit marbe. Here's something interesting. Halachas l'moshe misinai are very good because they teach what the halacha is. But what don't they help with? They don't help with creating a paradigm. You cannot learn out something else from a halacha l'moshe misinai because, again, halacha l'moshe misinai is unique and therefore, again, doesn't lend itself to be applied to other circumstances. So the Gemara says, yes, I'm not debating with you that this is the halacha by Tuma and Tara, but I'm also not debating that this is the halacha by Tuma and Tara. So just because we don't say lavud be'emtza by Tuma and Tara, that's a unique halacha l'moshe misinai by Tuma and Tara, but it doesn't tell me that I can't say lavud be'emtza in other circumstances. Correct.
But so why would we think that applies in the Tuma case?
Why wouldn't it? Because it applies in every other case. Because the halacha l'moshe misinai tells you there's a concept of lavud and tells me, all it tells me is a concept. And the assumption is the application of that concept is everywhere.
So when we learn it wasn't.
No. Lavud is correct. It's not by. We've seen it by mechitzos on Shabbos. We've seen it anytime. Lavud is a din in structures. It's a din in structures. So the assumption is it applies to every single structure. So the answer is that it's true, except to the ones that it doesn't. Except to the ones that have their own halacha l'moshe misinai, governing or excluding lavud from their halachas. Darsh Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi. So Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi darshan the following case. Bayis shenipchas v'sichich al gabov. So we'll say this is the case we had earlier. So this is the case, this was in yesterday's packet. So in yesterday's packet, this was picture 97, where again, the middle of the roof collapses, you decide, might as well make the best of this situation. I have an indoor sukkah this year, indoor sukkah. So what happens? My middle of my roof collapses, I put schach on top of that. What happens? Kshera, the aloha is its kosher. Amar lefan of Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Yossi. So also remember, this is now Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi making this statement. Comes on Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Yossi, and says, Rabbi, Parish. Rebbe, please explain your statement to me. Meaning, we're all saying, what Rabbi Shmuel was saying to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi is, Rebbe, you've made a statement that if you put schach in the middle of your roof, the sukkah is kosher. Rebbe, there's got to be more to that statement, right? There's got to be some kind of qualification to that. Can you please explain to me your ruling? And Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi says, because my father taught me, kach pirish abar arba amos psula, pachos me arba amos kshera. Because my father taught me that this is not just a blanket rule, that when does this concept apply? Only if there is less than dalal amos between the schach and between the wall of the home, i.e. dofen akuma. But if there is more than dalal amos between the schach and the wall of the home, then in fact it will not be good. So it's like once the Gemara started this, quoted this model of conversation, where the Rebbe says something, and the Talmud says, Please, Rabbi, can you explain this statement? The Gemara brings a couple of other examples of this. Darish Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi darshan the following. Avruma Sharia. An Avruma is permitted. Now, what's an Avruma? Take a look at Rashi. It's the second white line on the bottom of Rashi. Avruma, min dogim kitanim. It's a small species of fish. Ve'in shrotzim nikarba. And I will say, this is very interesting. There are some smaller species of fish that often look like shrotzim, that look like other water creatures, which were not kosher. So the small fish were kosher, the water creatures were not kosher. And it was sometimes difficult to discern between which was which. And often when you'd catch them, some of these smaller fish, you'd catch them, not just, you know, one, but you'd catch them, like with a net, the whole bunch of them at a time. And there was a concern that if we allow you to eat these fish, you may come to what? You may come to inadvertently eat some of these shrotzim. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi comes along and says, Avruma, this small type of fish that could sometimes look like a sheretz, I should say differently, that has shrotzim that look like it, so is permitted to eat. You can eat it. Amar the father Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi said to him, Rabbi Parish, Rabbi, explain that statement to me. That's a very open-ended statement. Because after all, Kach Amar Abba, what my father said about this was, Shamakom Ploni Asura, Shamakom Ploni Muteres. You can eat the Avruma of certain locales, but you can't eat the Avruma of other locales. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Shamakom Ploni Asurim, Sheshratzin Gedelin Ba'osanar, Umirov Kotnam Eno Yacho Lahafishim She'ino Nikarim. Shamakom ploni muteros, she'ein osonar megaylo shatze kidim afarish. Shabosai. So Rabbi, so comes on Rabbi Shmuel and says, Rabbi, my father explained this statement that you could consume the avroma when, in certain places. He doesn't identify which places, but in certain cities, the river, or in certain places, the river did not have these type of shrotzim. So in those places where the river did not have these type of shrotzim, you could consume the avroma, because there's no concern that other shrotzim are going to get mixed in. But in other places where it was known that the river did have these type of shrotzim, you would not be able to eat the avroma out of a concern that, again, you will not be able to discern the shrotzim from the avrona. Ki ha do amar Abaye, because this is not what Abaye said, Hai tzachnosa de bav nara sharia. The tzachnosa of the Bav River is permitted. What's tzachnosa? Rashi says, min dogim kitanim. Seems to be in the same thing as the Avroma family. Tzachnosa is again this small type of fish that apparently could also be confused with the sheretz. So Abaye said that you could eat tzachnosa in the Bav River. The Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Ilema mishum diredife maya. So meaning, why is the Bav River different? Why can you eat tzachnos in the Bav River and not other places? Obviously, what Abaye must be saying is that Lamaisa, the Bav River doesn't have shrotzim. And the question is, why doesn't the Bav River have shrotzim? So if you want to say mishum diredife maya, if you want to say because there's a strong current, maybe because the water flows swiftly, V'hai dag tamei, and these shrotzim that look like the tzachnosa, these unkosher fish, kevan deles luchut hashedra, they have no vertebrae, they have no spinal cord, lo motzi koim, and no vertebrae. Therefore, again, because they can't have no vertebrae, they can't swim with or against or with that current. So the Gemara says, well, that can't be true, because v'haka chazinan dekoi, because we see non-kosher fish without the vertebrae that exists even in waters with a strong current. Maybe it's because the waters of the Bav River are in fact salty. Vahaidak tame, and this non-kosher fish, kevan deleslu kilfi lo matzi koin. Maybe because it doesn't have scales, so therefore it can't exist in the salty waters, because the salt will be abrasive to its flesh. The Gemara says that's not true. Vahaka chazin and dekoi, because we see shratim that exist in saltwater environments as well. Ella, so also remember, we're trying to figure out, why is it that Abaye is allowing you to eat the tzachnosa in the Bav River? It's obviously because he's not concerned about shrotzim. But the shaila is, why isn't he concerned about shrotzim? Elo mishum delo marbe tinaihu dag tomei. Oh, to which the Gemara answers, because apparently the Bav River, the shrotzim, need to live in a place where there's a significant amount of tinaihu. Tinaihu literally means mud. In this context, what it means is silt. Silt. There has to be a certain amount of silt on the riverbed in order for the shrotzim to be able to live there. Apparently, in the Bav River, there's not enough silt to be able to sustain sheretz life. Therefore, there are no shrotzim there. Ravina said, "V'ha'idna deshafchi nar ison v'nar gamda lahasam asira." So apparently, Rabbi said, over time, they must have rechanneled waters. Ravina said, now the Isan River and the Ganda River flow into the Bav River. Now, because of that, apparently, the fact that those two other rivers are channeled in there, that seems to indicate that what? That Lemaisa, Rashi says over here, Vaha'inna, Shehuspulu Sochan Achsha, Vehimagalan Shkatsi, Vehimhenyar Delosanar. So apparently, again, because these other rivers were now diverted into the Bav River, and these other rivers do have these shrutzim, you have to assume that even in the Bav River, these shrutzim are found. So therefore, Rabosai, I apologize if you had plans for Tzachnosa today, right? That's right, Stephen, right? I'll catch them now. Right? If you had plans for the Tzachnosa, for today's special was the Tzachnosa from the Bav River, you are out of luck. You are out of luck because, again, now you'd have to be Choshesh for shrutzim. Amra, so the Gemara goes weiter. Back to Sukkah. Itmar, I will say again, that had absolutely nothing to do with our Sugya. The only reason that was brought up is because Rabbi Huda Bar Iloi made a statement about a Sukkah. And he said that again, if you have Schach in the middle of the house, the Schach is kosher. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi says, Rabbi, please explain that statement. That's very open-ended. Therefore, again, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi explains the name of his father. So once he did that, Gemara just brought a couple of other examples of that. Back to the Gemara, back to our regular topic. The Gemara goes back to Itmar, Sichich Agabi Achsadra, Sheyesh Lapitzimin. Bo says an interesting case. This is picture 117 on your sheet. Bo, remember the Achsadra case? We were introduced to this yesterday. The Achsadra case is a case where, again, you have like these porch-like overhangs. Remember, this is in a chutzer. Each home has its own like roof, its porch-like roof that overhangs its entrance. And now what do? You placed schach on this achsadra, but this particular achsadra happens to have ptsimin. It has columns or posts. I will say these are interesting posts. Look at Rashi. It's the last Rashi on the daf. Sichich agabi achsadra sheishla ptsimin. Kigon chatzra hamukepas achsadra kibbishu zumas nisin. Vesichich ba'abiro shel chatzar. The samach haschach asvas kirish achsadra. So you're placing the schach on top of the roof of the achsadra. The ein mechitos pinimios mo'ilos l'schach. The yesh patikras achsadra yosem me'arba amos. Aval atzad ha-sukah, yesh achsadra p'tzimin amudim kimin chalonos. U'bnei pachos mishlosh ha-kshir. Let's listen to this. So now, what's the case? So we're looking at the picture 117. In this particular picture over here, the way that Rashi is setting this up, is that the walls of the homes themselves are more than dalet amos away from the schach kosher, which would not allow you to use dofen akuma. But what do you have? You have ptsimin. You have these posts. And what's the chap of these posts? Interestingly enough, these posts happen to be arranged less than 3 tefachim from each other, which makes them what? Wow. Which makes them lavut, which creates a halachic wall. So therefore, the Gemara says, if you have an achsadra that has these ptsimin, Kshera, then the sukkah is kosher, because again, you have a halachic wall made of lavud. She'en lo petzimin, on the other hand, again, if it doesn't have columns, Abaye omer kshera, Abaye says the sukkah is still kosher, Berava omer psula, Berava says the sukkah is possible. Remember, again, Rabbi, how we're setting this up. This schach is more than dalet amos away from the walls of the home. So you can't use dofen akuma in this case. It's not a dofen akuma discussion. So now again, what happens if you have the achsadra without the petzimin, without the post? So Abaye says the sukkah is still kosher. Rava says the sukkah is pasul. Now let's analyze this. Abaye amar kshera. Abaye says the sukkah is kosher. Now you understand why I took my time with Amud Aleph. Right? So Abaye says the sukkah is kosher. Why? Because Abaye says aminon. Pi tikra yored visosa. Because I will say, Abaye says, literally, the lip or the edge of the roof extends downwards, ultimately, and closes off, demarcates, walls off the area. I will say, pi tikra yored visosa seems to be a sister concept to good achis or good asik. We've seen this concept before already when we take a mechitza. And we extend that mechitza upwards and extend that mechitza downwards. Pi tikra yored v'sosim is the same basic concept, but what? It doesn't require a wall. What it just requires is a rooftop, or an edge. It requires the edge of a rooftop. So pi tikra yored v'sosim means the edge of a roof extends downwards and creates a mechitza. Sefer Abayu says, "Rabbi, again, take a look at picture 117. So again, it's actually, no, I'm sorry, 118. But the 118 is cut off, but it's the one between 117 and 119. Okay? It's big job. There's no number on it at all. Yeah, it's the one right above 119. So listen to this. So you can see over here. So this is now you're looking inside. You're looking inside the Sachsadra. So I'm standing on the outside. So again, you see I have to my left, I have my overhang. That's the Achsadra. I have my Schach on top of it. Abaye says we take the edge of the Achsadra and we view that pitik, where we take the edge of the roof and we view it as extending downwards, thereby creating a halachic wall, thereby creating a kosher sukkah. Where do we know pitik or yod v'sosim? That is another halacha l'moshe misiyah. I will say all of these concepts of good asik, good achis, lavud, pitik or yod v'sosim, all are related in different ways. But lamaitz are all halachos l'moshe misinai. On the other hand, Rava says, Rava Amar, psula. Rava says, no, with the absence of psimin, this in fact is not a good sukkah. Why? Lo amrinan, pitikar yard v'sosim. Then ultimately, again, Rava says, we don't hold the pitikar yard v'sosim. Now, both say, whether or not Rava is debating that concept, saying that it's not halachos l'moshe misinai, we'll see, look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi said, Rava Amar, psula, lo amrinan, pitikar yard v'sosim, kid the mefarish time of the kaman, as we will explain later on. Pitikra ovion shal nisarim mechudan v'chein ovei rusheihen hakala letzatzogah. So we'll see, it's not that Rava rejects the notion of pitikra yard v'sosim. It's just that Rava requires certain qualifications and this case is not going to meet it. But for now, we'll say that for tomorrow's daf. But for now, again, the machlokus in Abaye and Rava seems to be centered on, do you or do you not accept the concept of pitikra yard v'sosim? Abaye says, we say pitikra yard v'sosim, therefore the edge of the achsadra extends down and creates a wall. Rava says, we don't say pitikra yard v'sosim, and therefore again, in the absence of pitsimin, this setup will not work. Amalei Rava la Abaye. So Rava says, listen to this. So Rava says to Abaye, okay, if that's what you're going to say, l'didachta amit pitikra yard v'sosim, if you really hold that the edge of the roof could extend downwards and create a mechitza, if that's the case, afilu hifchis dofen emtsoi. So listen to this. So Rava says to Abaye, so let me ask you the following case. I have a three-wall sukkah, and one of the walls falls down. Look at 119, picture 119 for just a moment. So I will say, what you're looking at over here is a sukkah that used to have three walls. And then what happens? Well, I'll call it the perpendicular wall. The wall that was perpendicular to the two parallel walls, you could see the little bit of rubble. They didn't clean it up yet. The little bit of the rubble in the back over there. So again, we would have had a wall that obstructed the view of the building in back. The wall fell down. So Rabbi says, according to Abaye, who holds Pitikar Yard V'sosim, so you should say what? Afilu hifchis dofen emtsoi. Even if that back wall falls down, the sukkah should still be kosher. Why, Rabosai? Why? Because don't worry about the wall. What should you say? Pitikar Yard V'sosim. Let the edge of the schach, where that third wall was, extend downwards and create the mechitza, and it should work. Amar leh, which Abaye says, listen, Rava, modina lecha b'hahi. In that case, I happen to agree with you that we won't say pitikar yard v'sosim. Why? D'havi leh kimavui hamafulash, because this is like an open mavui. Now look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, modina lecha b'hahi, d'cheivan da'avir pasuach lenegdo, dumya lemavui demavui mafulash. Sabayu says, listen, even in that case over here, I would agree with you. Why? Because it will say, if you look at this sukkah is totally open to pedestrian traffic. So because it's totally open to pedestrian, people can walk, there's nothing obstructing regular pedestrian traffic. And because of that, you can't really call it a domicile. Sabayu says, even I who hold pitikar yard v'sosim, you still have to have some semblance of an enclosure. Something like this, where the semblance of an enclosure has been lost, I would agree with you, does not work. So the Gemara said, Lema Abaye v'Rava, because once again, remember, if you look at the previous case, where in the case of the Asadra, the area is enclosed. It is enclosed on three sides. Granted, those walls are actually not the walls of the sukkah, but Abaye essentially says, I could use pitikar v'sosim in a case where there is a real semblance of enclosure. But if there's no semblance of enclosure, even I won't apply pitikar v'sosim. Therefore, again, if that third wall falls down, and now he used the exception of a mavui mafulash. Mavui mafulash, I will say, is a mavui that's open on both sides. It's not enclosed at all. Lemai said, again, that's not going to be a sukkah. Lema Abaye v'Rava v'Plota d'Rav u'Shmuel k'mafulash. So I will say, let's say that the machlokes Abaye and Rava is the same machlokes that Rav and Shmuel had earlier on. What's the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel? And we'll say meaning, let's assume that the machlokes of whether or not you hold the pitikar yard v'sosim that Abaye and Rava are having now is the same machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. What do Rav and Shmuel say? The Itmar, we'll say a very interesting case. Achsadra bebika. if you have an achsadra. Achsadra is like, you know, the word achsadra is used different ways in different. A roof, or a portico, it may be a gazebo. Look at number 120, picture 120. Suppose that this is mamish in the middle of nowhere. So what do you have in the middle of nowhere? You have a rooftop. You have a roof sitting on four posts. Now remember, this is a discussion of Gabi Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos. So what's the halacha about the achsadra? Rav says, Rav Amar, mutter l'taltel b'kulo. Rav says you can carry throughout this entire area. Why? Why? And Rabbi Sagan, let's say this area is much larger than Dalat Amos. The area is 10 Amos. Rav says you can carry throughout the entire enclosure. Why? Because the Aminon, pi tikra yard v'sosei. Because what does Rav say? Rav says, Rabbi Sagan, we view the edges of that achsadra roof as extending downwards, and therefore the entire area is enclosed. Ushmuel of Shmuel says, im metaltelin ba, elo v'dalat Amos. Shmuel says, on the other hand, that's what? That lemaisa, you could only carry in it dalat amos, rabosa, which is another way of saying what? The area is not considered enclosed. The lo amrinan pi tikar yarev is so same. Because we don't say pi tikar yarev is so same. The Gemara wants to suggest now that the machlokas abayi in Rav about pi tikar yarev is so same is the same machlokas as Rav and Shmuel. Rabosa, we'll stop over here with the Gemara. I just want to tie up one loose end from yesterday, which is in yesterday's sheet, very, very quickly. We only have about a minute or two. In yesterday's packet, I quoted to you on the last two pages from Simin Tav Reish Lamed Beis. I just want to close this out because this sugya has, I won't say it's come to an end because it's an ongoing sugya and sukkah, but I just want to show you the halacha. So if you look at Simin Tav Reish Lamed Beis, Sif Aleph, so remember again, we had a fundamental machlokus between Rav and Shmuel in the previous sugya, and that fundamental machlokus was about what? The shear of schach pasul. The shear of schach pasul both min atzad as well as be'emtso. So how do we paskin? What is the shear of schach pasul? So says the Shulchan Aruch, schach pasul be'emtso b'dalet tvachim. Haloch l'maisa, we paskin like Shmuel in the Nahar Dov version or like Rav in the Surah version. We'll go with Shmuel in the Nahar Dov version. That schach pasul's be'emtso, the middle of the sukkah, in a shear of dalet tvachim. Which means Rabbi say, if you have dalet tefachim of schach in the middle of your sukkah, remember again, when we say apostles, what does that mean, apostles? It essentially, it divides the sukkah. Technically speaking, depending on how many walls you have, you may end up with two kosher sukkahs, if you have four walls, let's say, and it runs down the middle. Or the truth is, if you only have three walls, you may end up with nothing. But the point is, the shear for schach apostle, be'emsa is dalet tefachim. Ava pachos mi dalet kshira, umutter lishon tachtov. The Shulchan says, but less than dalet amos of schach is kosher, and not only that, you could sleep underneath it. Now, I will say, it happens to be that the Mishnah Berurah says better to avoid sleeping and eating underneath it. Better to avoid it. But let's say you can't avoid it for whatever reason. Just understand that less than dalet amos of schach pasul be'emtso, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is not problematic. Part of the sukkah, sleep under it, eat under it. Dalet tefachim. I'm sorry. Thank you. Dalet tefachim. However, min atzad, what about from the side? Eino posa ela bedalat amos. Abosa ever schach posel on the side is only problematic if what? If you have dalat amos of schach posel. Ava pochos mi dalat amos ksheira. Why? The aminon dofen akuma. Abosa, so we accept the concept of dofen akuma halacha lemaisa, and dofen akuma kicks in as long as you have less than. Abosa, you have to understand, it's actually pretty significant because dalat amos is about 6 feet. So which means as long as you have less than six feet of schach pasul between your wall and the schach kosher. Again, remember, this is where you have schach pasul, less than 6 feet of schach pasul, your sukkah is going to be kosher. Dahainu, lomar shanu rom kila kosal mech, and we view as if the wall is bent. Dechoshev zeh schach pasul migofa kosal. And the schach pasul, in this case, again, it's the schach pasul, is counted as if it's part of the wall. So there's a horizontal part of the wall, and there's a vertical part of the wall. So the Gemara says, V'davar zeh halacha l'moshe misinai. Something like this is indeed a halacha l'moshe misinai. Hilchach bayish shenivchas be'emso, v'sicheich b'mkom ha'pasach. Therefore, again, if you have a home, and the middle of the roof collapsed, and you put schach in the middle of the opening, and you have less than dalet amos from the wall of the home to the schach kosher, it's kshera. However, mihu ein yishenim kachtov kolz man sheyesh bo dalet tefachim. Now, both say again, lemaisa, however, the Shulchan Aruch says that remember, this idea of dofen akuma allows you to view it as a wall, in that it allows you to connect the walls of the home to the kosher schach in the middle. But what doesn't it do? It doesn't convert the schach posel into schach kosher. So you cannot go ahead and eat underneath the area of Dofen Akuma. You can't sleep under, I mean, you can, but it's as if you're sleeping or eating inside. That is not viewed as being in the sukkah, which makes sense. Because if it's part of the Dofen, if it's really part of the wall, then it can't be part of the schach. So I'll say again, less than Dalat Tvachim, you can eat under it. You could sleep under it, at least lechatchila, right? B'diavad, right? B'diavad, lechatchila, you shouldn't. But dofen akuma, you can't sleep under it, you can't eat underneath it, because lemaise, again, it's considered to be part of the wall.
I have a review sheet for this week for anyone who's interested. And for those who are looking at it, be patient as I try to figure out how much detail to include and how much detail to include. I'm trying to get it right, and all input is welcome.